Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Once again, we are no longer the Benny and the Betts podcast. We are now the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Still kind of weird to say, still having a cold intro. This could be the last show before we, implement an intro song and kind of get off to our normal rhythm. But we appreciate you guys joining us. Busy day across the league. Not so much for the Red Sox. You can kind of start to see the frustration amongst the Red Sox fan base, all these other teams making moves, Red Sox not really doing a whole hell of a lot, but the New York Yankees today signed Corey Kluber to a one-year deal, and then early this morning, news broke about DJ LeMahieu signing a six-year, $90 million deal, so joining me tonight to kind of sort our way through this, Andrew Dwan, Job Goddard. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing well, guys.
I was doing well until today. today went from bad to worse, as we'll discuss in a second. But it's good. It's good to be back. It's good to be back with the crew that we're going to have for the season. So I'm excited to get back in rhythm.
Andrew, what are your thoughts on the day's events?
I'm just remaining calm. I think today was the first player we saw come off the board that the Red Sox were really targeting. And, that was obviously Corey Kluber, one of my favorite guys going into the offseason, especially after his showcase where his velocity was fine. But it's just a one little setback. It's not going to make or break the offseason. We're going to talk shortly about the pitching targets that still remain out there, because Kluber is really the first guy that hasn't been a re-sign other than some closers and the stuff that the Padres did. So everyone, we're not at our pets' heads are falling off level yet. Give it the whole weekend, and then maybe we can freak out a little bit.
The Dumb and Dumber reference. Okay, so let's just get into Corey Kluber. I'm not disappointed at all. I think he is better off joining a staff that's already kind of stable. I wouldn't call the Red Sox staff that, though we do expect, as currently constituted, it should be a lot better than last year. But, we still have some question marks within those guys. I think Kluber is a giant question mark. I think that the Yankees have a ton of question marks. He's now their de facto number two. Jordan Montgomery would be their number three. I don't know where you go after that. Domingo Germán coming back from his suspension, is he the number four? Who's their number five? I don't have their roster up in front of me. But
was it Devi Garcia? He was the rookie last year. They have some pretty high hopes for him. But yeah, they definitely still have some question marks. A lot of it's going to fall on health, which is kind of the same situation that the Red Sox had going on too, but obviously the Red Sox health situations are a little more dire than the Yankees are when it comes to pitching.
Absolutely. I know Charlie was a big Kluber guy coming into the day. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I was very optimistic, but then the more you read into it, it was like, ah, crap, their pitching coach worked with him in Cleveland. And then I was like, well, you know what? His training facility is in Massachusetts. Then you find out that that guy is also the trainer for the Yankees. It's like, oh, come on. So maybe we should have connected the dots a little bit more than we did. Hopefully, since it's a one-year deal, he might kind of take it easy, hoping for a bigger deal next year. And, you know, kind of holds back and doesn't pitch through any sort of ailments that might come up. But I don't know. This one kind of sucked.
Job.
You know, I really agree with, you know, the fact that we should have been connecting the dots all along. I was also kind of a Kluber guy, in air quotation marks, to going in. The reason that I liked Corey Kluber didn't have a lot to do with his velocity. It had a lot to do with the fact that he had heart. And Charlie and I were talking about this in a private group message and in our chat, is how we want guys that can compete. You know, that's him. He took a deal that I think the Red Sox, you know, were competitive with. Well, I'm sure we'll find out that they were in on him, so to speak, tomorrow or the next day, as far as what the offer was. I was just sad. You know, I went in today, I saw that DJ LeMahieu had signed for 6 years. Immediately, my thought process was, okay, he just got 130, so therefore the Yankees just screwed themselves long-term in terms of payroll. This is awesome. And then it turns out, you know, the day got progressively worse. Went from 6 years, maybe 120, to 6 years, 90 million. And then they went out and got Corey Kluber for 1-10, which the Red Sox could have afforded. So for me, it was really like, the rest of the division got better today, and we have not done anything to get better the entire offseason.
Yeah. Luckily, I think the ray of light that did come through today was that we saw that expanded playoffs are likely around this year. So if we take in Baltimore still sucking, Tampa taking a step back, Toronto really hasn't addressed anything. I'm sure that's going to change soon. But we still, if the offense is what it is last year, can probably make it into that 8 seed. And I'm sure they're going to sign one or two guys here. So I'm not writing us off yet. But the Yankees did a great job today. We got to tip our cap when it's due. Getting him done for $15 million a year, I don't think any of us saw it going that low. But they maneuvered the cap really well, and they got all their players signed today. No, they're not taking anyone to arbitration.
I mean, I think the division is still wide open. I've got a lot of concerns about the Red Sox, but if I were a Yankees fan, I would have a lot of concerns there. Andrew, you mentioned the other teams as well. There isn't one bona fide front runner that, you know, we can say is definitely going to take this division. With Kluber specifically, though, did you say 15 million? I thought it was 11.
No, 15. I was talking about for LeMahieu. Yeah, it's 11
bad.
For
11 for Kluber. My bad. All right. And I didn't think, I mean, coming into the day, I was like, well, you know, a 2-year deal for Kluber isn't out of the realm, I didn't think, but it only ended up being 1 year. And I'm a little surprised because 25 teams attended his workout and everybody was impressed, apparently. So I'm just wondering, what were the other offers, you know, let alone from the Red Sox? You know, what was, you know, a couple of the other motivated teams? I was just pretty surprised it came out as low as it did, you know, based on the hype from the national writers.
Well, so I agree with you, Terry. I mean, he's 34 years old. So you think going into your age 34 season, you probably, this is your last contract. But he does come off the injury, so maybe a 1-year, $10 million deal to him makes more sense than 2 at 20, hoping that next year he can cash in on a 2-year deal with an annual value of, I don't know, $13 million. You know, so I think it's possible that he's going in thinking that this is a bet on himself. He's pushing the chips to the middle of the table on one more contract next year. It's hard to believe that nobody offered him 2 years. I think it's it's going to come out tomorrow from some of these national guys that there were teams that offered him 2 years, but ultimately he probably wanted to stay with, you know, his rehabilitation system, and the doctor that he knows and trusts is with the Yankees. This is probably him trying to take care of his arm to preserve his value for next season.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a total bet on yourself move. He knows he has one more chance to prove that he's healthy and to get a team in a normal market year where everyone throws stupid money at pitchers to get that one last deal that'll give him financial security. Because he really, you know, he's made a lot of money, but in baseball terms, he hasn't made a ton of money yet. So I think he definitely wants that 2 or 3 year deal with like a $15 million AAV. And
well, so, you know, I have a question for the both of you, mostly for Terry, but you know, the new CBA comes into play next year and players are expecting a lot more money because they always are. When there's a new CBA, they're expecting hopefully maybe a revenue sharing agreement and a clean look at the books. Do you think that could play into his decision here, that he wants to get a 1 year deal and then sign when, you know, the average value for a pitcher goes from, who knows, maybe his contract now would be 14 because everyone's contract goes up by $5 million. Do you guys think that could play into it?
I don't really know how to interpret, you know, the CBA in terms of, you know, how it's necessarily going to benefit a player. You know, because I don't think they're necessarily going to magically be getting more money starting next year, but you are going to see things like the qualifying offer go away, which was a huge hindrance to someone like LeMahieu. And I don't know if the luxury tax is going to get tweaked or whatever. I would be shocked if that went away completely, but I think you're going to start to see stuff like that get worked on, but I don't know what factors are going to be implemented to magically, you know, get these guys more money. One idea I've heard, you know, other people bring up is maybe there needs to be a floor, you know, like maybe every team has.
Oh, there should be.
Yeah, like just say 90 million, for example. Every team's payroll has to be a minimum of 90. So that would force, you know, the Tampas and right now the Cleveland Indians. I mean, they're currently the lowest payroll right now, ridiculously low. So maybe that something like that could translate into more money. But I don't. It's just such a broad range of possibilities right now. So, and with Kluber though, I don't know. Like, I think he would have wanted the most money regardless, because at the end of the day, he hasn't pitched a full season since 2018. And that was 33 starts that year. 2019, he had 7 healthy starts and then he got hit with a comebacker and then his season was done. But even in those 7 healthy starts, he had a 5.80 ERA and then obviously just pitched the one inning with Texas. I don't know if that was opening day, but it was his first start of the year, only lasted an inning. And I just don't know, like, he's not going to be 2016 to 2018 Corey Kluber. I highly doubt he's going to have that type of stuff, that type of velocity anymore. So he's going to have to kind of, you know, transition or maybe reinvent himself would be, you know, a little bit more radical. But he's going to have to deal with that aspect. And then he's going to have to deal with the load management. Like, there are a ton of question marks with Corey Kluber, which is why I wanted no part of him. Just tons of red flags and the likelihood that all of that was going to come together and he was going to give you even like 23, 24 starts. I mean, that just sounds extremely far-fetched to me. And his injury was treated with PRP injections. He had a grade 2 tear of the, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this word right, the tears major muscle on the backside of his right shoulder. And he had PRP injections. Those are the blood platelet injections, We've seen guys have that on their elbows. Masahiro Tanaka, most notably, Tyler Thornburg. You know, and Thornburg never had an elbow problem after that. He had shoulder issues. You know, which is what Kluber had this time around. But that's a, you know, to tear a muscle in there. I just and then to come back. He turns 35 on April 10th, same birthday as my father. I don't know. I just feel like
that's my father's birthday too, Terry.
Is it?
Just got to put that out there before I forget. That's also my dad's birthday. Kind of funny.
Our parents got horny on the same night, apparently, different years. But anyway, so it's just I don't know. I think that was the best offer he had, so he took it.
I do think that the Red Sox probably offered him the exact same deal. I really do. I can't imagine that they offered him less, especially with the connections. But I do think at the end of the day, the pitching coach and the trainer just trumped it. I don't see any other situation. I know everyone thinks that the Red Sox are just sitting back, not offering guys money, but they are. And you can't force a guy to take it. Sometimes situations just work out better for players. And this is one of them. If you really do want to get that one last contract, who better to be around 365 days with than your trainer and your old pitching coach? It's great for him. I don't blame him. I probably would have done the same thing if I were him. You have all of, you know, all your facilities and all your training just at your fingertips. So it sucks, but it makes sense.
Job, any more thoughts on Kluber?
You know, I really agree with Andrew. I think Red Sox fans have a habit of making any connection that they can for why guys want to come to Boston or should want to come to Boston, the same way that, you know, Celtics green teamers do, or Patriots fans want to say guys should come here because of Belichick. Red Sox fans find anything. And Kluber lives in the Boston area, so people thought maybe there's a chance. You know, he wants to stay near home, all this good stuff. I just think that people had it overhyped in their heads how much the Red Sox, you know, mean to players as far as a destination. I don't think it's a destination people want to play with the team that as it's currently constructed. So, you know, I'm just upset because there's no other options, you know, taking deals from the Red Sox, but I don't necessarily fault players for that.
You know, it seems like when players do get here, they want to stay. You know, Mookie was probably the exception. But, you know, I mean, Christian Vasquez seemed terrified last summer that he might get traded. And he was sending Ron Renneke up to the front office to get confirmation that he, in fact, wasn't being traded on whatever day, you know, his anxiety was up or whatever. And Xander Bogaerts took a team-friendly, you know, six-year deal. You know, left a lot of money on the table to stay here. Kevin Pillar didn't want to leave last year. But, you know, obviously, one-year deal, and, you know, they were going to do whatever they could to get as much as they could for him. So when guys get here, they do seem to like it, but you know, I don't know. There probably is a perception, you know, that the Red Sox don't want to pay certain guys, and we'll never hear the end of it, you know, from 2014 with Lester. And, you know, so, you know, we'll see. Hopefully.
Well, that's another point. If you're 34 and you haven't won a ring yet, who are you going to pick? The Yankees or the Red Sox at this stage with the rosters as currently constructed? I think that's another huge factor.
Well, on a one-year deal, you know, at face value, yeah, you could say the Yankees probably are more likely, but let's shift gears now, because I've got a lot of thoughts on the Yankees, but DJ LeMahieu, the other big signing today, as I said in the intro, 6 years, $90 million. So works out to be $15 million per year from an annual, you know, salary, that's great. That's not a whole lot. That's basically Pedroia money that he's getting paid. The other notable deal that's presently known, the Blue Jays offered him a 4-year, $72 million contract. So that would have been $18 million a year, a higher annual value, but for two less years. And LeMahieu obviously preferred, the bigger overall deal, you know, for 90. And I think New York was definitely his preference anyway. But those were the two serious offers that, you know, are presently known. And, you know, there was a little bit of drama earlier in the week, or maybe it was late last week, where LeMahieu was very publicly upset with the Yankees and implored his agents to re-engage with other teams. The Red Sox were mentioned to see if they can get a better deal. And we were all surprised, you know, it only ended up being, you know, $90 million. So I'm just wondering, what was the offer earlier in the week that he was so unhappy about? Was it maybe just one less year? Was it 5 years, 75? And, you know,
Terry, I think it was probably closer to 4 years.
It could have been. Yeah, I'm just wondering.
That would have been my guess, like four and 80 or something. It's something, you know, and now he's just got guaranteed money for another 2 years.
Yeah, and so I guess I'm just kind of curious as to how that all unfolded. But, you know, Andrew, I guess based on what we know now, you know, as more details have come to light, you know, what are your thoughts?
It was a great deal for New York. I can't believe, you know, going into this offseason, if you told me that DJ LeMahieu was going to get $15 million, I would have said you were crazy. Maybe it was a 1-year deal and he just wanted to play it out and get paid next year, but good for them. He gets to flick the ball over that short right field porch and he's going to be good for, you know, at least 3 of those years, I think. If they could probably move him to DH at some point, if he can't even move or even first. He's a good player. He's going to be a pain in the ass to pitch to. And props to Brian Cashman. And one thing I do wonder is Toronto running into some issues here with getting players in because of their uncertainty. I don't know if you guys pay attention to the NBA at all, but you have the Raptors playing in Tampa this year. Do we know exactly what Major League Baseball is going to do? Are they going to let a team play there and let other teams come in? I feel like there's a lot of things still on the table. Are they going to play in Buffalo? Because that could affect a couple guys' decision whether or not they want to sign there.
That's an interesting.
You know, that's a good point, Andrew.
Go ahead.
I didn't think of that at all. Sorry, Terry. I don't mean to cut you off. I didn't think of that at all, Andrew. But it would make sense. We know that DJ wanted to stay in New York, but we also heard today that the Blue Jays offered him 4 years, $72 million. So my guess would be the Yankees were probably in the 4-year range. They probably offered him more money, but I would say they're probably in the 4-year range, and he's going to be, you know, there's no wonder he's upset with that because he wanted 6, not 4. They ended up settling on 6. I would guess the average annual value is probably much lower, but they probably paid him the same amount of money. They maybe offered him 4 at, you know, 85, 4 at 90 even, and they stretch it out over 2 extra years to kind of stretch out the CBT. Competitive balance tax so that they can get some other, you know, other players in there. I like the move for the Yankees. It's really hard to be upset with them, but it hurts. It really hurts for the next 3 years. Beyond that, I think you're right, Andrew. I think he probably falls off, especially defensively, and they have to move him to another spot, which when you're carrying the Stanton deal is not ideal. They're not going to have any money to sign some of their younger guys who are going to be, you know, arbitration eligible next year and then eventually going to need free agent contracts in the next 2 or 3 years in like Gleyber Torres and guys like that. So I think this is a win now move for the Yankees. And I don't mean 2021. I mean 2021, 22, and 23. They just kind of decided that their window was now. I don't know what your thoughts are about that, Terry.
Well, you know, with the Toronto situation, I'm not really up to speed on that, but I'm also not shocked because they did have to play in Buffalo last year, and Canada seems to be a lot more, you know, stricter, you know, when it comes to, you know, COVID restrictions and whatnot. So that is interesting. Another thing I've heard time and time again over the years is that Toronto, and I think Canada in general, the tax rate's a lot higher. It might not quite be what California is, you know, for some athletes, but it's up there. And so, you know, that's...
Well, it's definitely a factor.
Yeah.
Jalen Rose used to have a saying, sorry to cut you off really quick, but Jalen Rose used to have a saying, said you had to pay the queen because you had to pay that tax too.
Okay.
But yeah. So that is definitely that definitely goes into their thinking.
Yeah. So it's a tough team to drive, you know, to get free agents. I know Colorado out there, you know, where you live, Andrew, that's another, their owner isn't great apparently, but you know,
he's the worst.
They can't seem to get free agents as well, especially pitchers. So, you know, some teams just have issues attracting players, but, you know, it's interesting though, that I think 4 years, $72 million. I mean, that's aggressive, I think, for a guy who's going to be 33, you know, this year. So they gave it their best, and I think props to Toronto for showing some restraint and not getting too crazy. You know, here's where I stand with the Yankees. Is this a terrible deal? Not really, but it's potentially going to be a hindrance, much like the Pedroia deal is right now for us. And here are some of the ages of the players right now. Stanton's going to be 31 this year if he's not already. These are what they're going to be during the season, I should say. So Stanton, 31, several years left that his contract takes him throughout most of his 30s. Aaron Hicks, currently 31, his contract will take him into his mid-30s. Aaron Judge is 29, still fairly young, but, you know, injuries are cropping up. And you have to assume he's going to get at least an 8-year deal at some point. And the longer they hold on to Gary Sanchez, that just confirms it to me. There's no way in hell they're going to get rid of Aaron Judge. Getting rid of Gary Sanchez.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. No, I don't think Cashman dares to do it. I mean, look, name a player that they either traded or didn't sign and, you know, just walked away from. You know, you can use the Cano example. They were cash strapped, so this would be, you know, a similar example, I guess. But and then you can say they got rid of Chapman, but they knew they were bringing him back. So that's not even a viable.
That was a great move by them.
Okay, I was going to go with Chapman too, that, as kind of my example there. But so you beat me there because they did bring him back.
Yeah, they knew he was coming back. Tanaka?
They kind of used him up. I don't know. I think I am fascinated by this Aaron Judge upcoming decision. He's got one more year of arbitration. I wonder if, you know, Dominguez is going to be ready by then. And that kid looks like an absolute freak. If you haven't seen any pictures of him lately, trust me, you want to Google that. So he's going to demand a spot in that outfield. And then you have Hicks. I'm assuming they're bringing back Gardy. And then Clint Frazier is still on the roster.
I wouldn't necessarily assume they're bringing back Gardner. I mean, he's old.
I know, but yeah. I think if the fans will burn that freaking place to the ground.
See, it's clear. The fans are smart, Andrew. You know, they understand that you have to at some point.
I actually was looking at some things earlier. They're like, where's Gardy? Why isn't he signed back yet? So I don't know. I think that
he was kind of their leader. And actually, I'd be happy if they didn't sign him. He's a pain in the ass to face. Even if he's like over his last 45, he's going to get a hit against the Red Sox and like in the game-winning situation. You know it's going to happen. I hate facing the guy. So if they don't bring him back, I'm happy.
That just proves my point, though. You know, if they do bring him back, it's just going to make it that much harder to part from Judge. I mean, Cashman just can't do that. He just can't walk away from these guys. He does not have the balls to do it. And I've gone through some of these ages as well. You know, 31 Stanton, 31 Hicks at the moment, Judge 29, LeMahieu 33. This new deal takes him into his 39 season. You can go to the bullpen if you want. Chapman 33, Britton 33, Adam Ottavino 35 years old. This team's getting older. This team is getting older, and that's
which is what I thought was thinking too, Terry. You know,
yeah,
I was thinking they probably just opened their window. This is their window.
I think the window might have closed, to be honest with you. I mean, if Kluber works out, then okay, you know, maybe it continues. But you know, we mentioned Davey Garcia earlier. He kind of has Henry Owens to me written all over him. I just think people are going to be sitting on that 90 to 91 mile an hour fastball. And I mean, there's a reason he only pitched one inning in that playoff game. And I think he gave up at least one or two runs in that inning. I just don't think he's a starter anyway at the major league level. You know, maybe he can be converted into a reliever, but I just don't like the future of Yankees pitching. I know they have that Clark Schmidt kid who might end up being okay. Severino is Clay Buchholz until he proves me otherwise. You know, always injured, not consistent throughout the year. He completely sucks in the playoffs, you know, so he's going to have to show me a full year, you know, from start to finish, you know, of being at least a number three, you know, consistently, you know, before I'm comfortable with him. And I think the Yankees window closed and they're just one stupid contract away from being unsustainable again. I mean, Cole and Stanton, that's $60 million, roughly, probably $65 million a year.
That's crazy.
And you know,
it's definitely over 60. Yeah.
Yeah. And you factor in a Judge contract. There's no way in hell they're going to walk away from him. I don't think they can do it. And then what are they going to do with
Kluber? You don't think they can trade him? I mean, I think he's a valuable trade piece to somebody who's going for a title.
What I could see happening? I could see him taking a lot less than anyone expects because he's going to be marketable as hell. So he can make all that money back up. So he might not get top of the market dollar, but while still getting rewarded handsomely. But think of how many commercials he can do. All the Judge's Corner, like stand up, all that crap. He can make up that $5 million a year in Subway commercials and pizza commercials alone in that market.
I have one thing I disagree with there, Andrew. I think these guys keep score based on how much they get paid. Oftentimes, so I don't know necessarily that that's going to happen.
No, they totally,
these guys all think about it in terms of how much somebody else got paid. Terry, what do you think about that? You think that, you know, maybe Judge wants the most money? Because I think the arbitration is showing he's not worth what he thinks he's worth. So I would expect him to take as much money as he can get.
Well, if there's going to be a discount, I just think it's going to be less years. I don't think the annual value is going to be any lower. You know, maybe he takes a 4 or 5 year deal. But I think
like 5.5 maybe or something like that.
I think he's going to be at least around $30 million a year. I think so.
I don't see that at all.
I don't either. I don't think he's long for the field if he wants to. I mean, he's a decent fielder, but if he wants to stay healthy, I think he's going to have to start platooning a DH.
Well, how do you platoon them though? He's got to be in the lineup every day, and Stanton has to be the DH.
I'm not saying like take one of them out of the lineup. I'm saying he's going to have to split time. One of those guys, you know, Stanton's going to have to go grab a glove and oil it up because you can't have one of those guys playing 162 games in the outfield.
And play where? I mean, they're both injury prone.
The whole thing's a mess, guys. That's what we just need to agree on right now. That team is a mess.
They're going to have to get someone to bail them out, and they're going to have to pay a premium prospect.
I could see them doing something similar to what the Red Sox did when they shipped everybody to the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers extended that playoff window by about a year and a half by taking on all that money, and then they sucked for 3 years. The Yankees could very easily, you know, do that in a year and a half, 2 years' time when these guys are 35, 36 years old to some team that's going for a title run.
Stand to the Red Sox with all their prospects.
No.
And watch them hit home runs. 58 over the monster a year. It's a dream I've had for the last 10 years. Let me have this. Up on Junker. Mike Stanton. Going back to the Mike dudes.
That team is a mess. And, you know, today's signings, I can't get confirmation of exactly where they're at, but according to Sherman and one other national writer, they're right around the luxury tax. So
yeah, they're about done. SpotTrack had them at 10.25.
Okay.
So that was before Kluber. So they are there.
Yeah.
And you know what? They might go over.
Maybe.
Guys, they still have to spend. You know, there's guys you still have to sign in order to do debt. They don't have a 25.
I think they're good. They got all their arms done today. Their bullpen was full. They had a full roster.
I understand, but you think they're going to go in there with literally five arms? What happens if Kluber doesn't pan out? You know, they need another guy.
I just don't see them being in on anyone else. I think they have plenty of long guys. They might go with an opener or two a day in the rotation just until the season gets going, like a month into it. I just don't see, let me pull up their roster really quick. I just don't see them spending much more. Maybe they'll take a $2 million arm, a back end of the rotation guy, but I don't see them adding any more money.
They need a new general manager. It to me is what they need. I mean,
you think so?
What? I mean, they had no business signing LeMahieu to a 6-year deal. I mean, they made a ton of mistakes before this, though. So that's what makes it worse. I mean, the brilliance behind LeMahieu was the 2 years they got him for. 2 years, $24 million. And it looked brilliant at the time because they passed on
on other teams.
They passed on Manny Machado, though, to bring in LeMahieu, and they got better production.
On that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
really quickly, I am on their depth chart right now. They have six starters, and that's not even including Kluber. You have Davey Garcia, who they are high on. They're going to give him a shot. They have Cole. They have Jordan Montgomery. They have Severino. They have a solid 1-3 if healthy, and they can patch together a few other things. I think they're done. I really do. I think they're done.
I don't disagree with that at all. They're definitely done, but is it enough? And they won't have Severino back till summer, at least, you know, July or so.
They only need five innings. They really do. They only need five innings out of a guy.
Yeah, I mean, you got Seth Green? Who's the one?
Yeah, Chad
Green, my bad.
You have Zach Britton, Chapman, Ottavino. Like, you have some arms in there.
Yeah.
Please give me Chad Green for four innings every fifth day. Oh, I would love that as a Red Sox fan. Please.
He's definitely their long guy. And they got that Loizaga kid. I think he can go multiple innings. But it's just not good enough. I mean, when you look at the Dodgers, I mean, stacked all the way through. The Padres, basically, I have questions about their bullpen, but their pitching is still far and away better than the Yankees. The Atlanta Braves.
They have starters, crazy.
Yeah. I just I guess the American League isn't deep. I just rattled off three National League teams, but look at what the Mets are doing right now. I mean, they got Lindor and Carrasco on a nothing package. Like, that package was nothing with the Red Sox. Amazing. What's that?
That was amazing. That was a great move.
For who? For the Mets.
For the Mets.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes.
For the Mets it was. But I mean,
the Mets are winning free agency.
The Indians, though, didn't get nearly what the Red Sox got, you know, for moving.
They got nothing. No one did. No one that's been trading these guys have gotten what the Red Sox have gotten for Mookie. Like,
yeah,
Rays got a decent package, but they didn't get Verdugo. They got Patino, who's good, and then lottery tickets. The Cubs, Davies, and really, really far away lottery tickets. Like, the Red Sox killed it in that trade.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, and. But it just makes the Mets look that much better than the Yankees is what I'm getting at. They got Lindor and Carrasco in that deal. Then, and I'm not going in order of the moves they made, but they got Trevor May, who's probably an eighth inning guy on most teams. They've got James McCann, who might not be an overly sexy name at the catcher position, but I'm taking him over Gary Sanchez 100 times out of 100.
He's damn good.
Exactly. And they were in on Brad Hand. That would have been like the knockout blow for the offseason, because that would have given the Mets a really good bullpen. You know, assuming they figure it out with Diaz, assuming Betances is going to be the guy, you know, he was, and they got May, like I said, I think they can find a way to make Juris Familia serviceable. He's not going to be the elite closer he used to be, you know, in that 2015 season, but that's still a pretty good bullpen. And they got a pretty good lineup. And if Carrasco can pitch in that division, I do have concerns there, but I'm just going to take it at face value. You know, he's been good. You got DeGrom, obviously, multiple-time Cy Young winner. They're going to have Syndergaard back. I hate Marcus Stroman, but they have him. He's still better than maybe all but one guy on the Yankees rotation. So
he'd be their number two. He'd be their number two.
So the Mets, the Yankees aren't even the best team in New York, you know, because Brian Cashman is, you know, he's a 1990s, early 2000s GM. He's not gonna outfox any of the top GMs in the game anymore, and he's hurting that team. There's a reason they've only won one championship in the last 20 years, and they're not gonna win another one this decade with Cashman.
It's the start of a new decade, Terry. Be careful with that.
I'm good with
that. That's spicy.
Look at how old these players are getting, though. And this is their 2013. They're going into 2013 all over again. When A-Rod was busted, Teixeira was busted, Sabathia wasn't himself anymore, wasn't any longer an ace. You know, and they were kind of in purgatory for 4 years there. They made a wild card 1 year, you know, and got beat by Houston. But they're not going to be a juggernaut. That window's closed. So, I mean, they can try to patchwork it together while we still don't quite have all of our ducks in a row. But yeah, and here's another question. I asked this on Twitter earlier. Who gives LeMahieu over, just say 4 years, because that's what Toronto offered him. In the next 4 years, would he have been more likely to win a championship in New York or in Toronto? I think more likely Toronto.
I'm going to go with New York.
I'm going to go with Toronto.
Yeah. Toronto has as many questions in pitching as they have answers right now.
But they're young and they're cheap.
But they can't get guys to go there. They can't throw money at their problems with any guarantee that player's going to take it. We know, and there's a 100-year track record of guys taking New York's money and not thinking twice about it.
Will they do that now that the Mets are better? You know, you can take the Mets money. Steve Cohen's not going to, you know, let Brian Cashman bully him on anybody.
But the Mets aren't going to be going after top shelf pitching. And I think that's the main thing between these two teams, Toronto and New York. And I think New York has the farm system to go after it. And I do think they have the financial backing. And they say they don't want to go over the tax, but if they're running away with the division come July, that tax line becomes a very, very distant dot in your rearview mirror. They're going to blow right by it. They're going to trade Andujar and Frazier for some, and, you know, prospect number 3 and 4 for whatever ace top shelf pitcher is available. And they're going to pay. They're going to pay. The Steinbrenners haven't won a championship in too long, and it's a watered down AL. They have an opportunity, which sucks, but also means the Red Sox do too. But I if I had to put my money on one of those two teams winning in the next 10 years, I'd put it on New York.
Well, Toronto.
Interesting. I would go the other way. I know, Terry, you said you would go Toronto. My reasoning for going Toronto is that they're young and cheap. I don't know what your reason is, but I'd like to hear it.
I love their lineup. You know, I think their lineup's robust. You know, they got the Biggio, Bichette, Guerrero trio there, and they've got some nice pieces and guys like Teoscar Hernandez. And so I love their lineup. The pitching,
amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, their rotation leaves a little bit more to be desired. You know, they've got middle to lower end depth, you know, if they can get a guy like Robbie Ray to kind of turn it around. But they do need one more piece, you know, whether that's Odorizzi. Bauer might be a pipe dream, but they haven't spent serious money so far. So, I mean, we're not going to rule them out on even a guy like Bauer at the moment. But they got that Peterson kid as well, who, you know, could be a future ace. So if they can just figure out that one more starter, and then, you know, the rest of the rotation is serviceable. I mean, who thought they were going to go to the ALCS back to back? And
yeah, it's true.
But I'll say this, though. That was Alex Anthopoulos' team, you know, and not Mark Shapiro's. So so he's gotta get there himself. But so I don't know. I guess I wouldn't be shocked if Toronto, you know, goes on a nice run for a few years. But
okay, let me ask you a question then, Terry.
Yeah.
You know, based on that, can you name me, and Andrew, I want you to go as well. It makes it easier for us to have this conversation. Name me the four best teams in Major League Baseball right now, Terry, in any given order.
Dodgers, Padres are up there. I'm going to put the Braves up there. I mean, they've gone deep in the playoffs 2 years in a row. I think they got better, you know, this winter, and they're going to get Soroka back. So that's three, you know, and they're all in the National League. It's hard for me to really... I mean, the AL West isn't great. The Central isn't good. So
you went exactly where I was going to go with it, Terry. I mean, I was going to give you those three teams and then the Mets. So I don't know what you think about that, Andrew, but the way that I look at it is the American League is so wide open that I don't know how you can say Toronto doesn't have a shot. I think their shot is as good as anybody's, if not better, because they only have room for upward growth.
I am just super worried. Well, I'm not worried about it. I'm actually kind of happy about it. I'm concerned for their fans and their organization about their pitching. But if I had to give you my top four, I'm going Dodgers, Padres, I'm going White Sox, and I'm going Braves. Those are my top four.
That's fair.
I like what the White Sox have done.
Yeah. I love what the White Sox are doing. And, you know,
but I will say AL, I don't like the AL. I think you have the White Sox, you have the Yankees. I think the Twins have plenty of questions. Even though, you know, they have some pitching, but I feel like their pitching can go down any day of the week other than Berrios. The A's, I don't know. I just I'd never trust the A's to get it done. Maybe that's like an early 2000s thing where they just always dipped out, even though they had, you know, top like the three of the best five starters every single year. But other than that, I don't trust the Rays. I don't trust the Indians anymore, obviously. I think it's so wide open, and I think the NL is just going to they're going to dominate.
I think so as well, you know, and it was starting to look like the American League was coming back, you know. I mean, Houston had a bit of a drop off, and I don't think we could foresee what the Indians were about to do. We knew they were going to lose Lindor, but we didn't think their payroll was going to get slashed like that. I thought they were going to be relevant, and the Twins, I mean,
embarrassed.
Yeah, they're. You made a good point with their pitching, you know, outside of Barrios. It's just, you know, it's hard to really know where they're going to be. And, you know, I don't think I thought the Yankees window would be a little longer. You know, I just thought they would be, you know, a little bit more stable a little while longer. So, you know, the National League just surged right back into it. And they've just got some really smart executives out there, but the Mets, Job, to me, I mean, new ownership, a relatively new manager, you know, but they're still a dumpster fire until proven otherwise. I hope they prove me wrong. I got nothing against the Mets. I'm not old enough to be mad about 1986, but, you know, so if they get it together, more power to them. But that whole league is going to be phenomenal. And
I mean, the reason that I bring it up, Terry, is because not only do I think they're phenomenal, I think players are going to want to go be the face of the New York Mets. I mean, Steve Cohen is engaging. The fan base loves him. New York, frankly, loves him. And there's a lot of Yankee fans who are, frankly, fed up with the team not winning. Yankee fans have this win-or-go-home mentality that Red Sox fans have as well. And I could see, you know, the Mets putting together a competitive streak here for the next 5-6 years. And really turning the Yankees into kind of a backseat driver for the next decade.
They could very well do that. I do have some concerns about sustainability for them. Like they're going to need to build a farm somehow. And, you know, the Dodgers never really had a bad farm, but they maneuvered such a terrible payroll situation brilliantly for a few years there, especially after that Red Sox dump, you know, with Crawford and Beckett and all that, you know, and they navigated through that and still built a farm, you know, once Friedman came in. And the Mets are going to have to find a way to do that. And I'm just not quite sure they have smart enough people in that front office to do it, you know, and I hope they do, because I, you know, if the Yankees are going to suffer, you know, we're all here for that. So hopefully it
yes,
happens.
We are.
We're coming
to
up
me.
On, oh, go ahead.
You know, let me just throw this in. The Mets are getting off like the 2011, 2012 Red Sox vibes. They have all this talent. They made all the splashes. They need to get out to a good start, which the Red Sox didn't, or else that pressure is going to mount and it's going to snowball. I think it could go south if they don't get off to a good start. I really think they have to jump out of the gates. I think Lindor, Stroman, all these guys, they got to show they have it. If Trevor May blows a couple games, you know, that monkey on their back gets a little bit bigger and that target gets a lot larger. So I think the first few weeks for them are super important.
And that's a tough division, too. I mean, I think Atlanta could go on a run like they did in the 90s and just win so many years in a row.
I love Atlanta.
Yeah. And, you know, the Nationals are always good on paper. The Marlins are only going to get better. You know, mm-hmm. The Phillies, you know, I kind of like the Bradley move they made. You know, they got the Alvarado kid from Tampa, which, if he's healthy, could turn out. But that was a classic Dave Dombrowski, you know, injury history.
And now we're seeing reports that they might sign Real Muto back.
Yeah.
They're not rolling over. It can be tough.
He's got a 9-figure offer on the table. So, I mean, automatically, that's not an insult, even if it's only 100. But still, so, and I like Girardi, you know, so we'll see. I mean, Dombrowski, though, makes me nervous. I mean, two teams haven't recovered fully from the carnage he's done, and he's, you know, already at work on his third team. So, so we'll see. But it's a tough division, and you know, the Mets are gonna definitely have their hands full, you know, to try to at least finish second. So, but it's gonna be a fun team to watch, and you know, hopefully. You know, for the sake of their fan base, they get it turned around. I want to talk about Trevor Bauer real quick.
Okay.
We're not hearing anything on him. I don't know of one offer. You know, we know of teams with interest, but we haven't heard of a number. And I'm sure his camp knows what those numbers are, but we're not hearing them. And so there's just not a lot of momentum there. So I want to play hypothetical here. The Red Sox, Benintendi's name has come up in trades, and we'll get into that more if he does get traded. But that's $5 million, roughly, off the table. You could easily trade Vasquez, I feel like, if you wanted to. That's another six. So now you're in the mid-40s as far as your payroll goes, if you know, for this year, as far as what you have for this year. What if a deal gets made with Dustin Pedroia and that money comes off the books? Now you're in the 50s, probably close to 60. That's your Trevor Bauer money if you want to do it. You got to give up the pick. But you're not going to have financial penalties if even a couple of those dominoes fall. And if a couple of those dominoes are going to fall, you know, Bauer's market's going to have to come down a little bit. You know, he's going to have to be in the 26 to 30 million a year range. I don't know if it's going to fall that far, but I don't know what's a realistic market for him right now because we're not hearing numbers. But
so
is there a way?
First here, Andrew, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I was gonna let you go first because people are gonna like your answer better than mine.
I want to get into the, you know, a little back and forth with you here, and I know you're the statistics guy, right? As far as the rookies go and the young ball players, for me, Harry, I don't know what you think about it. The pick is minimal. I could care less about the pick. You know, whatever the word is that they use now, I can't even think of it. I'm tongue tied, but. I can care less about the pick if you're bringing in the best pitcher on the market. The pick matters more to me if it's a guy who's going to be a three, you know, a three-man or a four-man in the rotation. Don't give up the pick. For the number one guy on the market, I don't care. The question is, what is the market? I think the market is whatever he wants it to be. I just think he's in no rush to sign somewhere because these guys are continuing to set the tone. I mean, the Hendricks deal, for example, it's going to be either 3 or 4 years, depending on the opt-out. It's going to be $54 million guaranteed. The market is just absolutely setting up for him to make a payday. So I think he's just willing to wait, and I don't think he's going to be in our range, unfortunately.
So my response to that would be, it's not so much the pick as it is the financials that come with it, because then you lose about $1.5 million off your signing your slots. So then we, at number four, we might be looking at them taking maybe the 10th or 12th best player because they're willing to cut a deal and sign under slot, because now the Red Sox have $1.5 million less to work with. And that's what scares me the most, because I want the best player available. But to your later point, with the market being whatever he wants it to be, I don't think he's in a rush. I don't think he gives a damn. I don't think he even gives a shit if he sits out a month like we saw Keuchel have to do and Kimbrel have to do. Because he knows he's going to get paid. You don't get these kinds of starters on free agency. Guys, you know, that haven't hit age 30 yet. And at the end of the day, I think it's one team and one team only, and I think that team is the Angels. I've been saying that from the beginning, and I still think that he's going to end up in LA, and I still think they're going to underperform and probably miss the playoffs somehow.
I just don't know where Heim Bloom is at, and he talked about you know, these guys with picks attached to them, you know, wouldn't be ruled out, you know, even if they're long shots, you know, from the word go. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I don't know. I'm just trying to.
I don't think that's going to be his long-term approach either. I think it's just this 1 year. He walked into a nothing situation with a barren farm system, and he knows if he wants to make trades in the future, he needs to restock. And I don't think next year, if there's a guy that, you know, is going to have a qualifying offer attached to him, I don't think that's going to scare them away. I think after that, they're going to be like, you know what? Here's our window. We've restocked the farm. We have our guys, some of our guys like Devers coming into his prime, Verdugo coming into his prime. You're a year closer with Jeter Downs and Cassius. I just don't think the front office views this year as the year to go all in on it.
I keep going to the Nesson ratings being down. I think ownership wants to win. I think Tom Warner wants to win. And maybe Bloom and O'Halloran and the rest of the front office, you know, from the operations side of it, you know, maybe they're a little bit more patient in their approach than what the office, the ownership wants. But I don't know. It's such a closed front office. It's really tough to get a read on what the real motivation is. But
we stay in that lane really quick, though? I think that there are still avenues for them to win this year. I don't think it's over. I don't think the door's shut. I don't think, you know, the window's slammed. There are pitchers out there. There's Taiwan Walker. There's Jake Odorizzi. There are guys that they can work with the $30-ish, $35 million that they still have around. There's Marcus Semien. There are guys that are going to want to take their money, because as we see from like the divisions like the NL Central, I mean, the Yankees probably spent more today than the NL Central is going to spend collectively this whole offseason. We're just in the beginning of free agency starting to actually heat up, even though it started like 2 months ago. But there is still an avenue and a street to go down for the Red Sox to be very competitive and probably a top five team in the AL next season.
I don't want to cut you off, Terry, except that I need to know before I forget. I got to ask Andrew, whatever they're smoking in Colorado, I want some of that. So please send me the, you know, the list, because
craft no beer road. And craft whiskey. Those are the only things I go for.
There's no. I mean, as much as I love that answer, there's no way for the Red Sox to compete this season. There just isn't. They can win the AL East, but they can't win the American League. They're not getting past the White Sox. And if they get past the White Sox, they're going to get slaughtered in the World Series anyway.
So I think that's an acceptable outcome, though, after finishing fourth last in the league. If you win a round in the playoffs, I mean, they're not going to win the World Series every year. We won just a couple years ago. If we were on a 15-year drought, this might be different. But they're still paying the repercussions of selling the farm and handing out horrible contracts, quite frankly. And if they're able to make it into the second round of the playoffs, that's a successful year. And a free agency class next year, which is going to be a lot better than this year's, that's going to be more attractive to guys. You're not going to be that team that's like, oh, shit, if I go there, they only going to, you know, win 70 games this year. No, it's like, all right, maybe if I come instead of 87, we'll win 91. I think the building blocks are there, and there's still an avenue. I love this idea of signing Odorizzi.
What do you think about this? I'm thinking, like, when I look at it, there's so much money that they still have to deal with and get off the books, and there's the questions around Xander Bogaerts and his contract and maybe his opt-out. You know, I don't see them competing that fast and turning around that fast. I'd love to, you know, for the sake of, you know, the show and fandom and being able to really engage the summer with baseball. I don't see it. Terry, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, Andrew makes good points, you know, with the pitchers that are available. And I mean, I think if we sign Jake Odorizzi tomorrow, we're the best rotation in the division. We're not as good as the White Sox on paper, but, you know, maybe Tony La Russa likes craft beers as well. And maybe that'll be a problem. But, and the White Sox are in the Mets category to me. They're a dumpster fire until proven otherwise. I don't care how good they look on paper. So that being said, I mean, the trophy is going to end up on the National League side no matter what. But I just we don't know Chaim Bloom. We just don't know him. And, you know, the Yankees always had a history of players just landing in their lap, you know, and it happened with A-Rod, and, you know, it's happened so many other times, you know, in the last couple of decades. Maybe Bloom just like, you know, maybe he just wants to play possum. I'm just trying to come up with a viable avenue for Trevor Bauer. And, you know, I love the durability he's had throughout his career. And I just think, you know, he could be your John Lackey, you know, a lot more expensive, but, you know, he's your Lackey, you know. Hopefully Sale with that rebuilt elbow is going to, I think he's got what, counting this year, it's 4 years remaining. So
yeah,
hopefully he's, you know, a top pitcher. I think he's going to have to reinvent himself to some degree. I don't think it's going to be within the snap of his fingers. He's going to start mowing people down. I'd love to be wrong about that. Nobody wants me to be more wrong about that than me. But you got those two.
At least you got taken care of that as opposed to treading water like last year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so we'll see. One other thing real quick. Before we came on, I was trying desperately to come up with a scenario of getting Evaldi off the books, but I just can't get there.
I don't think they can afford to get rid of him.
I agree with Andrew.
I don't think they can afford. And, you know, I was actually looking at the bad luck rankings. It's if you eliminate one start from each pitcher. He would have had like one of the top ERAs in the AL. It was kind of ridiculous because he got shelled for 8 runs in like 2 innings, one start last year. And yeah, he would have been like in the low 3s.
Yeah, Perez was the same way.
I don't mind him so much now that it's winding down. It's $17.5 million I wish we didn't spend on him, but I kind of think they need him.
I think he's going on the DL, but if immediately after they traded him, you're definitely getting a minimum of a Jake Odorizzi type guy. So, you know, with E-Rod and Pivetta, who I think a lot of us seem to forget about.
Oh, yeah, should have. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. See what I mean? You know, but he's a number 5 until proven otherwise as well. But yeah, so you got, you know, E-Rod, Pivetta. I'm already forgetting a guy in there. You're probably going to have Hauk, Sales coming back. And then you'd have an Odorizzi type guy. I just think, you know, if you remove $17 million off your payroll, I just think, man, there's just so much you could do with that. And, but you know, we don't exactly have but the luxury.
They would have to give up something to get that off. You know, and at that point, it's like, does that just counteract the positives with the negatives there? Well, maybe, who do you have to give up to get rid of 17?
You have to eat it. You can't get rid of 17.5 anyway. Even if Evaldi was a better pitcher than he is, you need it. You need an arm. You can't get rid of him. But if you wanted to get rid of him, you know, you had to eat half of David Price, and then he didn't even pitch. But you had to eat half of David Price. Get him off the books. You're not going to get Evaldi off the books. He's a worse pitcher with a similar size contract. You're going to have to eat $10 million of that, is my guess. Maybe 8 or 9, and you're going to have to throw some prospects in there. It doesn't work. Yeah. Unless you were to throw, like, you know, you can throw somebody in there who's in the last year of their deal. I'm not looking at the roster in front of me, so I'm not sure who's in the last year of their deal this year. But if you were to throw somebody in there to a winning team and say, hey, look, you need one more arm down the stretch, and he's throwing to a 3-9 right now, and here's a power bat, I mean, you can do that. I think you can move him at the deadline.
I think you could throw
a lot of salary.
You could throw a Vasquez-type guy in there, you know. I mean, a good pitcher and a good catcher.
I think that's like team hashtag blow it up at that point. If you're going to get rid of your only non-question mark as a starter and your starting catcher, I think that's just, you're almost waving the white flag.
Yeah, I just think Vasquez makes our pitchers worse, you know, based on the numbers. But I don't know. But you're going to do something with that money, though. Don't forget that. Like, you're immediately...
I have the money. I do. I think that they have the money. I think that they can make moves. It might not be Bauer, but I do think they're going to get two arms.
Hopefully.
You think they're going to get two arms?
Yeah.
I do. What's the market for Rizzi right now?
You know, who's, I think it's going up every day. But these guys are all doing the opposite of what they do in other sports. I know you mentioned the NBA earlier, Andrew. The NBA, these guys all want to sign first because it's all about percentage of salary, you know, of salary cap. These guys all want to sign late. The later you sign, the more the market goes up. You know, but the more teams are desperate. They're willing to spend
money. I can't think of anyone that wants to add $15 million.
Okay, I can. You know, the Los Angeles Angels.
Yeah, but I think Bauer's going there. So I'm eliminating them for Noder, is he?
What if they go to Bauer and Bauer says, I want a year for 4 years, and they're not willing to commit to that because they think their window is probably a little longer out? I mean, they can go get Odorizzi.
They're never screwed.
No, they can go get Odorizzi and probably make the playoffs. They're not going to win, but they can make the playoffs. And Odorizzi's the building block. You know, they're not the team, I say in quotation marks, in LA anyway. So I don't know if there's that much marketability reasons for Bauer to go to Los Angeles. I think, you know, outside of Mike Trout, why would you want to play in Anaheim? You're not really even in Los Angeles. You're in Anaheim.
I just think Artie Moreno can't help himself, and he's going to give you whatever you want. That's the reason I think he's ended up there.
Do you guys know the story of how Pujols got signed? It was, no, I don't remember if it was at the winter meetings, but he was having a conversation with Pujols's agent, Artie Moreno was, and he asked his agent, he goes, do you think Albert would take $160 million? And his agent goes, well, you know, that's a generous offer. I'd have to have a conversation with him. And that wasn't good enough for Moreno. Literally, he fires back immediately after and says, all right, well, you know, how about $200 million? Do you think Albert would take $200? And the agent goes, well, you know, again, that's just something I would have to talk to Albert about. Immediately after, fires back, fires another bullet and says, well, what about $240 million? And the agent took the deal right then and there. That's how the whole deal went down.
Artie Moreno, graduate of the Michael Scott School of Business right there.
That's how it went down. So that's how ridiculous that guy is. And look at last offseason with that whole Peterson trade with the Dodgers.
That was
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't similar to what would happen with Bauer, but it was just a classic Moreno impulse thing where he got offended that they were taking too long, and so he called it off because he had a hissy fit, and
he was getting a pair for nothing. Like, dude, chill out, have some pay. The season's not starting tomorrow,
right? Yeah, or in 4 months, as it turned out, but yeah. So I'm just that he's the worst kind of owner. He's probably worse than Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys. And it's hard to be.
That's a big step. You had me until you said Jerry Jones.
Well, they haven't won a playoff game in the Mike Trout era. So, and he bought the team a year or two after the World Series win in 2002. So that wasn't even his team under his ownership. You know, it's just been such a dumpster fire organization. And it's mind-boggling to me how Angels fans haven't lit that stadium on fire, you know, out of frustration. Like,
there's Angels fans?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what it is. You know, the Angels fans are much like in Boston, you know, people used to live and die by the Red Sox, and then it was we live and die by the Patriots. And now it's people are on the Bruins and Celtics bandwagons. When you have so many good teams in one city, as much as you're a fan of that team, you just kind of watch other sports. It's unfortunate. It's the nature of, you know, being a big market city. But I think, you know, in Los Angeles, people are like, oh, well, the Lakers are winning. It's okay if our baseball team sucks right now. And vice versa, you know. There's very few people anymore whose only sport is baseball. People watch more than just that. And they're willing to accept kind of mediocrity.
Yeah, and it's just a very casual fan base. And I just feel like, I mean, look at how long they tolerated Mike Scioscia. That dude should have been fired probably 6 or 7 years before he finally did. And the team's so bad that people forget that Joe Maddon's even the manager there, you know? So it's just a terrible, terrible team. And, you know, now would be the time to
race the mic.
I can't believe Trout even wanted to stay.
God.
He was supposed to sign with the Phillies.
You have a top five. He should have, and I hate Philly. But where else can you have like a top 20 all-time in the sport? And if you showed his picture to like 10 Americans, maybe like six of them know who it is. That's unreal. It's not like they're wearing face masks and helmets. Like, you can see their face. They're a very marketable person, and Mike Trout is just rotting away. His first playoff win is going to be when he buys the damn team.
You know, I don't disagree with that. I think you look at it, right, and the face of Major League Baseball right now isn't Mike Trout. It's Mookie Betts. It just is. It's Mookie Betts.
He's the best player in Southern California, and there's five more marketable guys than him. That's pathetic on the Angels and Rob Manfred.
There's no better way to put it. I mean, you got Mookie, you got Tatis. I don't know if you want to put Machado in with them, but yeah.
Kershaw, marketable personality, right? But yeah. You have Kershaw in there too. You don't even have to put Machado in the top five, and you're still looking at five of the most marketable athletes in the country.
Yeah, Gavin Lux.
Trout's not even interested.
Lux is probably going to be in that conversation. So hopefully, I don't know, maybe he can get traded. I don't know if that's a tradable contract. You know, I don't know what
I think it is for other teams. Other teams would take that on in a heartbeat to get Mike Trout. But I just don't think anyone will do it, because that's the only thing bringing people into the stadium. The only thing driving any revenue is, let's go see Mike Trout. Let's buy Mike Trout jerseys. Let's get one national game all summer because Mike Trout is playing. If you don't have Mike Trout, franchise is in real trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no equal trade value that the Angels could ever get back. They wouldn't get their fans. They wouldn't get the revenue. It would be a disaster. You could not put a package together that would be worth him.
Right.
There are no players worth him, and it's not even close. You can't say, oh, but what if I gave you and named four players who are all-stars? Because I'd still say no, and so would every other GM. The only player who might even come close is Fernando Tatis Jr., and maybe you have to add two or three other players to that deal. And at that point, you're not going to make that deal because Tatis is 10 years, 8 years younger than Mike Trout. So, you know, it's like you're not going to trade Mike Trout for a 22-year-old because the Padres will tell you, sorry, adios. Yeah, you know, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
All right. So we'll wrap it on that. We kind of went a little long there, but that's fine. People are jonesing for content. We provided that. could be a fast turnaround. I mean, if a development happens, we're just going to come right back on and discuss what happened. I kind of hoping it waits till Sunday, but you never know. You know, we were debating on when Kluber would sign, and you know, it happened. Yeah, happened
pretty on that.
Happened pretty quick. You know, all those arbitration figures were pouring in literally by the second, and then that ended up getting done. So we'll see. You know, I guess I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, mid afternoon tomorrow the Red Sox finally do something. So we'll be on whenever it does. So, thanks everyone for joining us, and month away from pitchers and catchers. So we're getting there. We're inching. So we'll be back probably within the next several hours. Take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.